You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You can help decide who made this week's All-State Good Hands Play of the Game. Obviously, Tashawn Gibson with 2 interceptions on the day, 4 on the season. He's in there. Buster Skrine is in there. So is Andrew Hawkins on his big 65-yard catch and run. You could win an autographed pair of gloves from the winning player. Cast your vote right now at ClevelandBrowns.com, and good luck back here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, breaking down what happened in this game for the Browns. I thought, again, a very strong offensive performance. If you are a guy who has been doubting Justin Gilbert, watch this tape, and you will feel much better about him. I thought he had his best game by far, leaps and bounds. I don't know what the coaches said to him this week, but whatever it was, keep saying it. He played very well. That was good to see. But offensively, the woes were there. Unable to throw the football effectively. Brian Hoyer had easily his worst game. The receivers didn't help with a couple drops at times as well. The running game could not get started against this stout front of the Jacksonville Jaguars, as the Browns were held to 30 carries for 69 yards at just 2.3 a pop. That was not good either. And we talked about the offensive line going in, and Matt, during the break, you were talking about, strategically speaking, what Jacksonville did to disrupt those zone flow plays when you get everybody moving laterally one way or the other in unison as the offensive line. Some of the Browns have done so well. They couldn't do that against the Jags, and why?
No, they couldn't. And I thought, for you Browns fans out there, go back and watch some of the best Ben Tate, Crowell, Terrence West runs. And this is, again, with and without Alex Mack, you see us running laterally in unison. You know, we're in a line, which means we're almost creating a surge and a wave against a defense, pushing them, allowing Ben Tate to stay front side, cut it back in the A-gap, or even take it backside or out the back door if he so chooses. And what Jacksonville did an amazing job at is when we tried to do that, they were taking, you know, Paul McQuiston or in some cases John Greco and just thrusting him back into the defensive backfield. And what it would do is, yes, 4 out of the 5 offensive linemen, or including tight end, 5 out of 6 would be on that track, but one guy would be pushed back, which is, like, again, if you're trying to create a shield, you know, they found a weakness in our shield and they exploited it time and time again. It's just a matter of taking one guy and pushing him back in the backfield, which got, you saw time and time again, Ben Tate trying to twist and turn out, you know, and having guys at his feet at the line of scrimmage. And we're used to, and I know we've run the stat.
Down two and a half yards
yeah,
before we take contact.
Yeah, we're getting 2.5, 3 yards before we get contact, and that was not the case yesterday.
Did you guys agree that they did a good job of setting the edge too? I mean, they were trying to turn things back up, and we all know that the guys sitting inside in that interior defense line, those are big boys. So when you're trying to – somebody's setting the edge defensively, doing a good job in forcing our backs to cut back up the middle when they can find a hole, now you got to run into – you got to try to elude a guy that weighs 330 pounds.
Well, and it's that, and then it's also when you don't necessarily get to the second level and get your hands on the mic, he's going to run free and be able to make all those tackles, which is what we saw. They would set the edges, you said, stay in their gaps, force the cutback, but then you had an unblocked linebacker who was able to come in and make the tackle.
Exactly. That was the next step. They not only pushed us back or kept us at the line of scrimmage, it's, you know, because we have that new interior group, Petonio, Greco, and McQuiston, it's like they I can't say they didn't work well together, but they couldn't get that backside backer blocked, which is where Ben Tate loves to take the football immediately. In some cases, I love to keep him safe front side.
Safe front side. We talked about that.
But he wants to take it back, and when he would take it back, he caught immediate pressure right in his face.
That's right. All right, let's go to Dan in Akron now. Dan, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, frustrating Monday, guys.
Yes, it was.
About that.
I got a question to ask you. Why is it that Penton didn't take the field goal there towards the end of the second quarter? Because this is the second time now that he's left points on the field. Back in Tennessee, it almost got him, but it got him this time around.
You know, based on what he said in the postgame presser, he wanted to kind of deliver that knockout blow to a Jacksonville Jaguars team. He felt that his team could get 1 yard with two cracks at it. Now, the play call, you could say ultimately, you run up, you run it once, and then you go with a play-action pass. It really had two reads, and once the Jordan Cameron was really the primary read, once the linebacker stayed home on him, there wasn't much to go to. I think he was trying to, as Matt said earlier, he was trying to say, you know, listen, I believe in you guys. We can do this. But I think ultimately, if you look back at it and you think at how that game ultimately flowed and played out, you'd rather have been up 9-0, kick the ball back to Bortles, who had nothing going on, and giving them no momentum or no life.
You know, we all have the benefit of hindsight on Mondays, right?
Yep.
And I would say the thing that stood out for me is I do agree. Nathan, everything you just said right there makes complete sense, because there is a point in the season where an NFL coach, where a head coach is going to look at his players and say, let's go, guys. This is football. This is just mano a mano. This is what we practice. This is what we go through training camp for. If there is a point that we need to get 1 yard, 2 yards, sometimes you've got to put it right on the team, and you've got to say, let's go get it. Because, again, it could be a demeanor change. Things could be a little lackadaisical, and then all of a sudden you give the confidence to them that we're going to get this yard to get it. It changes the outcome. Obviously, you know, the hindsight thing comes into play right now. But I agree that coaches sometimes need to be able to give a little bit of trust to their guys and say, listen, we're going to grind this one out. We're going to pound it out. We're going to set a precedent for the rest of this game.
But, Joe, I mean, just as a player, and I know everywhere that I was, the players – We're always betting on ourselves time and time again, and that's what Coach Pettine was doing.
Right.
You know, betting on his team. And when there's that opportunity, I mean, you can't. Brian Hoyer came over. Let's go get it.
That's,
you know,
a bone.
When Ben Tate's in the huddle, it's like, I got this. You know, call my play, call my number. The guy, we want to, and in some cases, that's where you need the voice of reason as well. And that's why the staff of coaches, you know, and who you have collectively holding you accountable to make those right decisions consistently in a football game and season, make a great staff, because you can be swayed as a coach. I've seen it happen time and time again. Is let's go do it. We can get it. You know, and you don't essentially, you always think, okay, I'll believe in my guys, let's go get it. And when it works out well, but in this case, it did not work out well. It worked out negative. You don't think that way as a player.
And I think if you go back, though, to second and two and then third and one, I want to see in those situations, especially maybe the third down, second one I'm fine with, I'd rather see Crow or Tate in there who are going to get north-south and get that first down, as opposed to a lot of dancing and a lot of jumping around, going sideways and not getting forward. And I think ultimately that cost the Browns a little bit there. And I understand because, you know, going inside Terrence West's mind, or as best I can, I'd imagine he wants to get in there and make a play. Like, I want to show I was out, I was down last week, I'm up. I want to be impactful, but sometimes being impactful is as simple as just falling forward and getting a first down and resetting the downs for your team.
Oh, we talked a lot last week about being a professional. You know, two young running backs in there, what they just found out this past weekend is not everything's easy, man. This is the NFL. Those guys in Jacksonville were hungry. We all know that. We saw that. But again, when you look at it, the biggest thing in the National Football League, especially with your best running backs, when you've got to get that yard or you've got to get that 2 yards, make your move, and it's north and south. It's not stretching things out, because everybody, including Matt's got speed. I'm not trying to – but the point is, man, that you've got to get north and south. And we have two big backs in Tate and Crowell. I mean, those are the guys that you would just want to – here's
West
the ball.
Is a big guy.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But, again, you talked a little bit earlier today, too, during the break we were talking about sometimes it's good to get the flow to two guys.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe this week having the third guy and trying to mix three guys in wasn't the answer. Again, this is all hindsight again. But – you would like to think that two of the biggest guys, guys that are really pounding it out, that are going to create a little bit of fear, not only in the linebackers, but the safeties coming up to fill, that they're going to go through there, put their head down, and get that yard.
Yeah, let them feel it in the shoulder.
I'm a huge fan of the two-man, not a three-man, because – and you know, I know Coach Pettine says it a lot, and he's told it to us about, you know, Wilbert Montgomery determines who gets those reps and when. And I think when you're stuck with three guys, you know, when you need to go get that yard, you're stumbling between three bodies, and it's like, Terrence was on the field, so we're just going to give him that. And you have faith and belief in all three to get the job done. But in some cases, and what we need to find out is who do we like more than the others, okay? And it's like, that needs to be our guy. That needs to be our stable. That's where we need to hang our hat, instead of this guessing game, because it leaves us and everybody else questioning, well, why is he in the game and I'm not? Or why is he in the game and he's not? You know, define it. And that's the one thing that I thought we were on the cusp of doing, was defining roles and defining identity. Well, we just got a nice curveball that we're going to have to chew on all week long.
Well, you know, going to your point, Matt, look at what Denard Robinson did at running back. Every time that guy came in the game, at least as somebody watching the game, you would sit there and go, they've got a chance here, because he's toting the ball. He's doing it really well. Every time somebody else came in, it, if you look at their stats, they weren't very good.
Exactly right.
He was the lone man.
He was the lone wolf.
Feed him if he's out there and he's doing his job. And now let's go back to the Browns. If Ben Tate and Crowell or West are doing their job, keep feeding him the ball. I like the momentum thing, because to me it's fun. It's like watching a guy in basketball. It's like watching LeBron James go out there and get the zone. He's fun to watch. So with me as a teammate, here you go. Have some fun.
Yes. All right. Let's get Kevin in Cleveland here before we bring in Mr. Kevin Jones for the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill. Kevin, welcome to the show.
How you doing, fellas?
Hey, Kevin.
Hello. Hey, how you doing? Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, I was at 2 points. I want to know, is it something wrong with the defensive scheme? Because I remember earlier in the year, they were talking about that guy's going to be flying all around the place and be blitzing. I don't see much of that. And do you think, Crow, y'all just said it, but y'all think he should get more carries?
I do on the Isaiah Crowell thing. I think that he is our most explosive back, so I would like to see him get more opportunities to really get in a rhythm, because the one thing we haven't seen him get the chance to do is wear a defense down and what he's going to do when he is getting that and starting to impose his will on people. Now, he's got to do a couple things better. He's got to keep his feet. I thought there were a couple times he gets his lean forward and almost gets leaning too far forward and can get tripped up right when he gets the ball, but I love the way that he presses the hole and explodes through it and gets north and south. And I think if this line is not going to be able to be at the level that it once was with Alex back out, which is understandable, you're going to need to be a little bit more physical running the ball to get those tough yards. So I definitely want to see them do that. Defensively, again, I have zero problem with the way the defense has played really since the second half of Tennessee. They did a great job against the Steelers. They did a great job in the second half of Tennessee shutting them out. And they were dominant in my mind, other than the one drive. They had a missed tackle and Allen Robinson gets in the end zone. The rest of the game, this defense played very well, and I know Denard Robinson ran for yards, but it didn't add to anything that they did, and the majority of the time, they were getting punts or turnovers at the end of Jags drives.
No, I agree, and I really do feel that you're right about Crowell. I mean, he's so downhill that sometimes it's like his body's like he's about to do a somersault.
It's too much lean. Right.
He has too much lean, and again, now we're finding West is dancing a little bit more, so it's like we need to find that happy medium. And one other thing that I want to make, which deviates a little bit from the callers, Ben Tate missed a few pickups in blitz as well. Right. So those running backs, the fumble, exactly. And so it's when you're rotating guys and you're splitting reps in practice, you're splitting reps in games. These guys are professionals. All of them want all the carries. All of them want all the reps. Well, that's just not the case. But if we can hone in on just two of them, being our guys and getting them all the reps and getting them all the preparation, I think we'll be much better off down the road.
All right, when we come back, the roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill, joining Matt, Joe, and myself will be Kevin Jones, staff writer from ClevelandBrowns.com, with his thoughts on the Jacksonville game and where the Browns go from here. That's coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.